Welcome to the Chuck and Deb Show, heard each Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. here on 1490 AM WWPR. And now, here's Chuck and Deb.
I am Chuck.
And Deb.
And welcome to the Chuck and Deb Show. We are so grateful and so thankful that you're tuning in today. And you're going to be grateful and thankful that you're tuning in as well. Because we have a great show lined up for them, don't we, Deb?
We absolutely do. So the Chuck and Deb Show is the truth behind the motorcycle mystique and inspiring real-life stories that help you discover your purpose, find true freedom, and define your destiny. So with the pre-ride safety briefing behind us, it's time for the kickstands up and let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. Everybody wants to let the good times roll. I'm ready to let the good times roll. And speaking of the good times, hold on. We can't go there yet.
No, not yet.
Because we've got to remember some people.
We absolutely do. So today's show is brought to you by the Tony and Guy Hairdressing Academy out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you are looking for a cutting-edge education and instruction from the industry's leading methodology in both cut and color, then contact them right now to seek enrollment into this highly sought-after career. So be sure to visit thechuckanddebshow.com and the sponsor page to get more information to reach out to Tony and Guy Hairdressing Academy.
So that's what it is, their hairdressing academy. So anyone that has any burning desire or knows anyone that's looking for a career that wants to be a hairdresser, is that right?
Correct.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
You need to help me out here because
cosmetologist. They actually just recently introduced the barbering program.
Barbering. Okay. So if you're listening and you want to be a barber, then why not learn from Tony and Guy? There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, we really appreciate Tony and Guy for being our sponsors. And we're going to get on with the good times here. And I want to start with this last weekend, Deb. This last weekend, Deb, was a very interesting and fun and exciting weekend.
It was.
We went out to the West Coast Florida Riders Bike Rally and first annual
anniversary party.
And it was a great time. These guys did a fantastic job. I mean, they had food galore.
Oh, gosh.
And they had everything you needed to drink out there. plenty of water.
Yes, and maybe another cocktail or two, but
yeah, it was all out there, and these guys really did it up big time. I mean, the entertainment was fabulous. We got to meet Jeff Burdett.
Yes.
And what a nice guy he was. I really like Jeff a lot. It's interesting when you think about it that you've got Jeff here, and Jeff tells me when I talk to him about something, he says, "I'm really shy." And I'm thinking, you know, really, you're a musician, but you're really shy. But I get it, because he's probably like me. He probably just loves music, but he's probably more of an introvert like me. You know,
right.
You really got to get out of our shell to be up there and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So I just really enjoyed meeting him. He was a really nice guy. And his friend Boston, Jim, I think is his name. But Boston was a really nice gentleman as well. So we got to know them pretty well and just hang out with them and just enjoy ourselves with them. And that was a real blessing. And then Jezebel, the band Jezebel, was there. And it was so funny. And I'll just say it. I was sort of embarrassed. You know, I see Sammy Joe. Sammy Joe's
Sammy
her name,
Joe,
right?
Sammy Joe, yes.
Sammy Joe's the lead singer. And I said, "Jen, you're Jezebel, right?" "No, no, come on. The band is Jezebel."
The band is Jezebel.
But, you know, I was wrapped up until the moment, that kind of thing. So it was a great time. Like I said, they even did a ride. They took a ride. They went out to a lot of different places before the party actually got started. And the entertainment, again, was fantastic. The guys, Chris and Lee, you guys did a fantastic job.
Amazing
with your
job.
Your admin, whoever else was involved. You got to hand it to Scott, too, who goes
Scott.
By Shady.
Yes.
And his photos, if you guys go out to the West Coast Florida Riders group, go ahead and join that group, and you'll see all the fantastic photos. These guys are real pros at what they do. I really was very impressed.
Yes, they did a fantastic job of organizing that event. And
you know, I know that they had to go through some stress on there.
of course.
They had a little bit of stress and that kind of thing, but they kept it together real well. And I think it was a real success. And I want to do a shout out to the West Coast Florida Riders and thank you for inviting Chuck and Deb out there. I had an absolute blast.
You did a fantastic job. So you did have a great time.
Well, I don't know. I think I might have been having just a little bit too much fun. So maybe.
Is that
anyway.
Possible? Can you have too much fun?
Well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be nice. We're on the radio here.
I know. Well, I couldn't be there the entire time because I had a previous commitment for a motorcycle riding class. So after class, I was able to join Chuck out there at the West Coast Florida Riders and see that was really just, I got there just right after they arrived on their motorcycles. And again, it was a fantastic job, very well organized. It was a great location.
Was fabulous. The rocking, don't let me stop your flow, but go ahead.
No, the Hunsaters Rocking Ranch. And although getting to the ranch itself what may have been a little challenging for some or many motorcycles, once you got there, you were able to do your kickstands down and just kind of let everything go because everybody brought their tents and or RVs. It was just an amazing turnout and a great place to have that type of an event.
I can only imagine what it's going to be like next year because the word's going to get out of, you know, of those people who didn't make it and maybe what they missed out on. And speaking of the roads, I think they actually did a good job because you could tell before we went in, they actually put fresh dirt down on the road. So it actually worked out pretty good, I think. You know, you just had to be extra careful on there. That's all.
Right. And it was packed pretty well. I mean, I would agree with that. There were a couple spots that were a little looser dirt, sand, whatever the mix was. But yeah, you know, anytime you're not on asphalt on the motorcycle, it's a little bit more of a safety thing that you've got to watch out for. So it's just a matter of being conscious and aware and very fully present in the moment when you're on those type of streets and roads. So
yeah, again, it was a great time. So a couple of shout outs. Frog. I met Frog, and Frog helped out with Jeff Burdett and took his jug around and got some tips for him. And so, Frog, big shout-out to you. A big shout-out to Maverick for getting up on stage and helping conduct the games. You did a fantastic job.
And he had ridden down, though, all the way from, was it Ohio?
Oh, yeah, was that right? Yeah.
He came a huge distance for this particular event.
Yep, so it was great just having him up on stage and making it even that much more fun. And then, of course, I got to get a shout-out for Butch. What was Butch? What did he come up and say? I'm the Pollock from somebody, something anyway.
Yeah.
It was really good. He was having a blast. He was up there having a great time. So just a shout out a couple of the people that I met while I was there that I really had a good time. Also, we met Randy and Janice, if you guys are listening.
Yes.
We got to meet you through
some new
Ryan.
Riding friends that through, live in our area.
Yep,
so,
we got to meet you through Ryan and Heather. Yep. And we're so glad that you guys got to come out and hang out, even though Deb didn't get any pictures because she was hanging out having a good time with you guys.
Well, you know, I got to let my hair down once in a while.
Yeah, well, that you just forget about maybe getting some pictures.
I kept watching and, you know, encouraging and cheering you on because you were doing a great job.
I don't think so.
Oh,
Deb.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I saw some video footage where you weren't even paying attention. Just over there in your little own world.
Whatever. Okay. So, nope. I've always got my eye on you, mister.
Oh, sure you do.
You're my riding buddy.
And not to mention, you know, that our daughter came out.
She absolutely did. Nicole did a fantastic job supporting, made sure she was wearing our swag so she could show everybody that she was with the Chuck and Deb show and, you know, kind of sitting at our canopy and our setup and answering any questions that people might have. So it was a great time, nice family time together, and great to have all that support.
Yeah, it really was. So the West Coast Florida Riders, great group of people. They got a lot of great things going on. Don't forget, they do the Angry Rooster. I think it's the third Thursday of every month, the Angry Rooster off State Road 70 in, what is that over there? It's not Lakewood Ranch. It's, what's that, Terra, near Terra?
Yeah, it's just across the street from the Terra. But, you know, it's right off the interstate. You can't miss it. It's just west of the interstate. So great, great location, great place. They've got a nice outdoor stage and just do a really great job.
Yeah, they get some really great entertainment. The food's really good over there, so a big shout-out to the Angry Rooster as well. But the West Coast Florida Riders, check them out. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. Actually, what I'd like to do, hey, if Chris and Lee, if you guys are listening, we'd probably like to get you guys on the Chuck and Deb show here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just talk to you guys live, whether it's call-in or in the studio. We'll figure it out. But we would like to maybe get you guys, not maybe, we would
we
like to.
We will get you,
we'd
yes.
like to get you guys in here if you're up for it. So that's just a little bit about the Florida, West Coast Florida Riders.
And that's a mouthful to say, though.
Well, until you get used to it.
Until you get the rhythm of it all, for sure.
Yeah. And so I think that's about it. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody or anything. If I did, I apologize. But I just want to let everybody know it was a great time. And the West Coast Florida Riders did a fantastic job.
Phenomenal. So with that, I want to kind of move to the next thing. I want to wrap up last week's session. We wanted to discuss one important topic that we discovered for the first time watching and learning about some safety tips and techniques for National Motorcycle Awareness Month. What?
Well, I like how you just think you're taking over the show here.
Of course not. It's a team effort, man. You, me, that's the way we roll.
Well, I'm sorry, Deb. I did let you go on, and we do want to talk about that.
I do. I don't want to forget it because it was an important aspect of what we both kind of an aha moment. So I definitely do not want to forget it. Are you going to throw me a curveball?
I was, but...
Bring it on. Bring it on.
I can't because my mind slipped now.
Oh, because yeah. Until you started talking.
Right. Well, you started, you know, giving me some, you know,
grief. I
pushback.
Gave you flashback?
Yeah. Okay. And so when you did that, it like, threw you know, I got afraid.
No, yeah, right. That's so not my brain, ever going to happen.
My brain got a little bit shocked here.
I'll keep talking about what I was going to go with, and I'm sure you'll interrupt me at some point, so then we'll have fun and kind of go whatever down what rabbit hole you lead us down. So,
All right.
So what I want everyone that's listening to be able to imagine, whether you drive a car or ride a motorcycle, is a four-way intersection.
And part of the reason you're bringing this up is
because it's National Motorcycle Awareness Month, and we didn't finish this. We wanted to really talk about this last week, and we ran out of time. And so I want to just, I think it's just so important that we bring it up now. So again, imagine a four-way intersection with traffic lights on all four aspects of the intersection, and each direction has a left turn lane in it.
They all do, don't they?
Correct. They all do. And there's a left turn arrow there. So as a motorcyclist, as you're coming up, if you're going straight through that intersection and there is a left turn ahead of you.
The light's green.
If there is a vehicle, truck, whatever the case is, in that left-hand turn lane, you lose not only your visibility going into that intersection, because typically in a staggered formation and or a single rider, we're going to ride in what's called lane position one, which is the furthest outside edge of that lane. And so,
I've heard these discussions before among motorcyclists.
Okay.
Now, when you're saying outside lane, what is the outside lane? Because, you know, some people think it's this side, and some people think it's that side. Is it where the dotted line or the solid yellow line or whatever?
Well, okay. So to be a little bit more clear about what that position is if you're sitting in the lane... Lane position one would be the furthest left side of the lane.
So you're in the we're on the left side
left
of the road.
Left side, correct. Left side lane. Of your lane.
Okay.
Center lane is lane position two, and then the far right of that lane is lane position three.
Now,
did you
name these?
Nope, these are actually named in the Motorcycle Safety Foundation's class.
So if anybody wants to go double check you, that would be accurate.
Probably right. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Okay.
It would be right because starting position is always lane position one. Which is that left-hand side of the lane.
All right.
So again, as a lead rider, you're in that position. But if you're coming into that intersection and there is a car or truck in that left-hand turn lane, whether in the same flow of traffic as you or on the opposing side of traffic as well, you're kind of lost in a blind spot there, not only for the vehicles, but your ability to see what's happening on the other side of the roadway.
As far as on the other side of the intersection, for example... Someone taking a left-hand turn.
Correct. So what we watched, what I thought was a great idea, is rather than being in that lane position one to the far left, is prior to getting to that intersection, moving over, doing just a lane change, not an actual change of lanes, but change within the lane.
Shifting over to the
lane position three, which is the right-hand side of that lane. So not only can the cars... ahead of you see your light move, which is a great thing for your headlight, but also it gives you the ability now to see what's happening in that left-hand turn lane coming onto you in the oncoming traffic. So, and then as soon as you get through the intersection and everything's safe again, get back over to your lane position one on the left-hand side of the lane and keep on rolling.
Of course, a couple of quick head checks when you do both those switchovers. Just squirrels real quick within the lanes.
Right, to make sure you don't see
somebody hasn't come over into your lane,
unexpectedly. So.
But yeah, we both watched a video online, and it was the first time that I have seen anything like it out of all these years, even with all the people I've ridden with. No one has switched over from the outside to the inside part of the lane.
Right.
But as you watch the video, because what the guy did is he had somebody behind a truck, like Deb was talking about. So he was probably, you know, a car and a half, maybe two car lengths behind the truck, and as the truck could have been taking a left, or the truck could have even actually been going straight. In this case, it was going straight through the intersection.
Correct.
So you could see, if you stopped the video and paused it as you go, you could see how the car that's going to take a left doesn't see you right away.
Yes.
You know, so I thought, well, you know, shouldn't he stay in the left lane because you'd be seen first?
But you wouldn't, because by getting over to the right side of that lane, you actually make yourself more visible than you did where you were.
Because, you know, it was interesting to watch how it all went down.
We kind of had to watch it several times and kind of really get in that flow and rhythm of what that rider was doing.
Yeah. And so we're going to give that a try when we go out there to see how this works out.
Yes.
And, you know, to me, it's okay. I can see us doing that. Now, you don't want to be shifting lanes in the intersection.
No,
you actually want to do this before. And, you know, I you know, as I think about it, I actually have a hard time with it.
I know.
I really do, because on the outside, I think I'm more viewed than if I was on the inside lane, but we watched it.
And that video, I would have to disagree the way we watched that video over and over again. So it would be a matter of testing that out for clarity, make sure that it is what we really think that it is.
And the other thing I think we talked about is if you were on the inside of the lane, if somebody did make that turn, you know, then they're going to have a little space in between. In other words, before you would have the ability to possibly go right or speed up. Whereas if you were in the left turn lane, I think that's what we determined. If you were in the left side of the lane and then they see you, they don't see you and they turn right into it, you don't have a choice. You're
right.
It's like you're hit.
It's a done deal. So at least if you move over to that right-hand side and they choose to go and then they stop in the intersection realizing they saw you, then you could do a slight swerve, even if you have to, and you could miss an interaction with that vehicle, an accident.
So we'll give that a try. We'll report back to see, you know, to let you know how we feel about it.
Right.
If we think it's a positive move, we got to put some experience behind
it. That's right.
But I know we want to share it because it didn't seem like, you know, through watching that video, it could prove to be very important. And we know that the most number one accidents happen with the left-hand turn. I think it's 40%, 46, something like that.
Yeah, I don't recall off the top of me, but also the number one place that accidents happen is in an intersection. So again, anything we can do to lessen that possibly would be better for everybody.
So let's get into the big news.
Yes, we have an outstanding announcement to make. I'm so excited. I cannot even
apparently you can't even
wait.
Speak, right?
I know, I'm almost
you can't speak. You're
speechless about it. So.
So, yeah, we brought it. We mentioned this to you last week on our last show or podcast, depending on what you're listening to. And it was about Rolling Thunder and how we met Kevin and Shannon. I got it right this time.
You did?
And they actually invited us up to participate, we'll stay at their place and participate in Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
So let's tell them, give them a little bit of feedback on
we mentioned it last week because we were so excited about the possibility, and we shared with everyone kind of that we put it on the calendar in January, not sure whether or not we were going to make it happen or how it would happen, but we truly, you know, we put a 6-month plan together with the anticipation that it's all going to come to fruition. Not sure how, not sure what we would be doing, but the great news is that we were able to pull all of the pieces together. And so Thursday, we will be heading out to head to the Washington, D.C. area to attend the Rolling Thunder event on Sunday, the 26th. So
we're very
excited. So we got to give a lot of information, though, about that, because, you know, a lot of our listeners, Chuck, may not even know what Rolling Thunder is, but we also have to give props to some sponsors that really went, I think, above and beyond to pull things off, to make this trip really happen in a great way for us.
Well, I agree with you. We definitely want to fill those people in who aren't quite aware of exactly what Rolling Thunder is. We'll bring you up to date on that in just a moment, but let's just backtrack a little bit. So we had this invitation, and we just weren't really sure exactly how everything was going to work out. We were going to take the invitation that Kevin and Shannon gave us, and we were going to see what we could do to make it. Well, you know, Deb and I both ride, and I did mention this last week, you know, that we were thinking about getting a motorcycle. We thought it would be a little bit easier just to ride one bike this time, but that way we could get some document the whole trip.
Correct.
And that way we could share it with you guys that would want to. Maybe we could be live on Facebook. So look for the Chuck and Deb Show on Facebook and share some footage and be able to do things a little bit different. Also, be a little bit safer. You know, our bikes are a little bit older. We don't have to put the miles on that.
Yep.
And actually have more time to get there. In other words, we don't have to stop every 150 miles like we would have to do with our bike.
Correct.
We have better time.
Yep.
So overall, to me, it just felt better if I was able to, like, get a bike other than my own, like a rental bike, okay?
Right.
So Deb went out, and Deb talked to Scott over at our local Harley dealer, which is Rossiter's Harley-Davidson. And Deb talked to Scott. They talked it over, and they were able to help sponsor us on this trip and to allow us to get up there, to go on a motorcycle, the two of us, and go ahead and participate in Rolling Thunder.
Yep.
So a big shout out, big kudos,
yes,
big thanks for Rossiter Harley Davidson. We're so grateful and thankful for you guys for having faith and belief in us and just being there and supporting us, because quite honestly, Deb, these guys have been our family. This is our first motorcycle family.
Yes.
And it started at Manatee River, and we got involved with the Hog chapter.
Correct.
And we still have great friends there that support us and really are big fans on Facebook. They repost and they like our post, and
right,
they make sure everybody hears about the Chuck and Deb Show. We're so grateful for them,
yes,
for what they do. And so it is our family, and we've been so busy. A lot of those family members that our first family,
our
the Hog chapter,
brothers and sisters, we've been depriving
you.
Yeah,
we just haven't seen and been able to hang out with you because we're doing this Chuck and Deb thing, and we're enjoying it, and we're getting to have some, you know, meet other aspects about the motorcycling world. But we think about you all often and really care about you. But I'm sorry, I sort of went off on a tangent, but it really is important to us because, you know, Rossiter and Manatee River is our first motorcycle family.
Yep.
You, if you're not riding, you want to ride, you're going to find out about it. Most of you are already riding. You've got your motorcycle family. You've got people who's got your back, okay?
Right.
And that's what these people are to us. They've got our back. We're truly grateful and thankful for each and every one of those people in the Hog chapter and who've always given us outstanding and tremendous support. You know, we love you and we appreciate you very much.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, we haven't been the best hangout friends and doing the things that we used to do for so many years, but it doesn't mean we don't think about you often. We wish we could get out and do more with you and spend more time hanging out like we've done in the past. But, you know, this particular season of life is what it is. And we've got a different direction that we're focused on for now. And, you know, that will change for all of us. So we appreciate your support and love as we grow through this, move through this, and kind of get to the other side of where we're going.
We're just so grateful and thankful that they're just so supportive of everything that we do.
Yes.
So thank you. And that goes back to, we're not going to quit bragging about you guys. Rossiter Harley Davidson.
Yep.
Thank you so
this
much.
This trip is going to be, they're our big sponsor for this event.
Yep.
And
so
trip,
you'll be hearing a lot about Rossiter's while we're on there, because we want you to know that they've helped us and supported us. So
yes,
we're grateful for them.
So anyone listening, if you do end up heading down to the Bradenton, Sarasota area, whether you're in the local state of Florida or outside the state and you want to come down on vacation, you know, be sure and mention that the Chuck and Deb Show has shared with you all about Rossiter's Harley Davidson and the fantastic dealership they are and what great people they love to ride, and they want to share that passion with others that want to love to ride too and learn to love to ride.
Now, let me see if I understand, because I really don't listen to you a whole lot.
I know.
Now, did you just invite only the people that are visiting?
No,
and that come
I invited
down?
Everybody.
Okay, see, like I said, I don't listen.
Come on
so,
over to
so,
Rossiter's
so all
Harley
the locals
Davidson
that come by, if you happen to listen to the Chuck and Deb Show, go in there and let them know that you heard them, you know, heard about
heard
them
about
on the Chuck,
on the
and,
Chuck
Deb
and Deb
Show. We'd really
yeah
appreciate that very much.
I said throughout the state of Florida, so that included
well,
local,
I'm going to listen to this again. We're going to find out.
Well,
that's
okay,
if I can listen to it again.
Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Okay.
Just trust me, love me, be my partner, man. All right. So,
yeah.
So Rolling Thunder, I know if you're not, you know, have been in one, if you haven't been in the riding community for a long time or a rider for a long time, you may not have any idea what we're
some
talking about
know
Rolling Thunder. And maybe you've been riding your whole entire life and still don't have a clue what Rolling Thunder is. So we wanted to be sure, and, you know, why are we talking about it? Why is it so important, and why is it such a big deal for us? Is, first of all, we do come from military background, so we have not personally served, but my family was Army, Chuck's family was Air Force, and so, you know, we are very, very patriotic in not only our upbringing, say that twice, but, you know, just as we have become grown adults, we're very patriotic and love our country, and so why this is so important is because this is the 31st year for Rolling Thunder. However, the sad news is that 2019 could possibly and may possibly be the last Rolling Thunder there is.
Why?
Because the organizers said due to the rising costs, then difficulties that they have been facing with the police and the Pentagon, which is, well, again, we'll kind of get into some of that, has made it extremely difficult and challenging for it to be supported from a financial aspect, I do believe, ongoing in the future. And so the idea is that everybody rolls in to the Washington, D.C. area and we're stacked up like sardines in the Pentagon parking lot. Now, if you haven't been to that area, the Pentagon parking lot has several different sections of the parking area, parking lot. Is that the right? Am I saying that the right way, Chuck?
Yeah, several sections.
Okay,
yeah,
several sections. So they roll you in and line you up pretty tight.
You can't get out.
Yeah, once you're in, you're in. And it's just the way it is. So they load you up, let you sit for a good long time until 12 o'clock noon. So again, the idea is get there as early as you can so you can get as close as you can to the front of the line.
If that's your choice.
If you want to. And then by 12 o'clock noon, everybody will roll out and they actually shut down two streets in the downtown Washington, D.C. area. And we as riders ride through the city uninhabited. I don't know if that's the right word, but
there are no other vehicles on the road. The streets are shut down.
Boy, that was a difficult one for me to kind of get out. But yeah, I mean, it's totally open. It is police escorted. And the one thing I didn't realize, okay, that all sounded great, especially the first time I went. But what is even more amazing is the people that are sitting on the sidewalks, waving their flags, cheering, clapping, waving to you in just their patriotism, honoring us. Yeah, high fives. It's just amazing experience.
But why are they doing this, Deb? I mean, you know, we're sort of talking about this and what goes on and everything, but what is it all about? I mean, why are people gathering? Why are people riding? Why are people being spectators? Why are people throwing high fives? Why?
Well, the bottom line of Rolling Thunder is an acknowledgement and honoring the prisoners of war as well as the missing in action military. So, you know, those are the families and the people that are really being this tribute is all about.
Okay, because they don't want anybody forgotten in any war, any POW ever forgotten, and so they want to make sure that they stay current with this and that it stays in the forefront. That we got to make sure that we get our POWs back, right?
Correct, absolutely.
And our MIAs, okay?
MIAs, yes.
Okay, and I want to go off track just a little bit because
as
a child, I remember. And I wonder if any of our listeners remember, do you remember the bracelets, the POW MIA bracelets? I think it was POW bracelets. I used to have them as a kid and I remember getting one and I just wanted to go off on that little tangent for anybody else that knew. Well, maybe you're just too young, but it was a big thing. It was a big thing. At least it was for me to be able to get that because that's how you paid your support. That's how you showed your support for the POWs. And I think even the MIAs at that point,
okay,
it might've been the MIAs too.
Okay.
Missing in action.
All right. So for those of you that maybe can relate to that, you know, definitely leave a comment. Let us know what kind of the acknowledgments that you had as a child were for the MIA and POWs. We'd love to hear more history about what's happened. And geographically, you know, there might have been a whole bunch of different things that happened across the U.S. honoring those men and women of service. So
people are writing to do this, to make a statement, basically. And are you going to share the history with us at all? Are you going to share a little bit about that? Because I think when I read it, at first, there's only 2,500 people that participated,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. And again, I think that history is important for us to talk about. So thank you so much for asking. But this actually, if you wanted to do some additional research, the history of the National Mall, the first Rolling Thunder I found online, and the first Run to the Wall event known as Rolling Thunder was held on Memorial Day 1988. And that was organized by a Vietnam veteran named Ray Manzo, who wanted to bring the national attention to the plight of prisoners of war and soldiers missing in action in Southeast Asia. So they working together with the Vietnam Veteran Motorcycle Club, Manzo encouraged many veterans and supporters to ride into D.C. and gather on the mall. And again, as you'd mentioned, Chuck, that was approximately 2,500 bikers that participated in that very first rally.
Very interesting compared to where it's going to be now.
Right. And what are we anticipating the possibility?
Well, since it may be the last one due to the security issues and other things, I think it's been up to 900,000. Matter of fact, on some of the things, I think on their website, they talk about there's been 900,000. I think we went, we were told there was 500,000 motorcycles. Actually, I heard
maybe
some reports.
More. Yeah,
I think I even heard reports that it was
million.
Like, yeah, it was more so, 800, 900,000. So
right.
I think it was 900,000. They said, I don't know the exact number when we went.
Sure.
So, you know, we can expect there's going to be at least a million motorcycles.
Bucks. Yeah.
Million motorcycles in Washington, D.C. Can you hear the thunder?
No, it's going to rumble. It's going to roll and it's going to be music to my soul. So a few other things that I thought were pretty interesting about Rolling Thunder that I wanted to make sure, and again, more history on that, but there's a whole host of weekend events. Now, although the ride is on Sunday, the party really gets started, or things in honoring this event start
ceremony.
On Friday. So at 5 p.m. on Friday is the Blessing of the Bikes, and that's going to be held at the Washington National Cathedral. At 9 p.m. on Friday is a candlelight vigil for the Vietnam Veteran Memorial. On Saturday from 9 to 9, it's what's called Thunder Alley.
Yeah,
and that is the official vendor hub of all the swag from the event. So
get your official Thunder.
Yes, get all your gear, your shirts, your pins. From what I remember, they had patches. Anything you would want to have as a motorcyclist celebrating this event, I'm sure you would be able to find it. On Sunday at 6 a.m. is Reveille for the riders at the Vietnam Veteran Memorial. And the bikers will meet in the North and South Pentagon parking lots starting at 7 a.m. And as I mentioned, they're lining up at 7 a.m., although we won't be really heading out until about noon. So that's quite
Kevin's
a few hours.
Kevin's taking care of us. So we can't
give his secrets away.
Oh, okay. No. I'm not giving Kevin secrets away. I'm just letting everyone know that he's taking care of us. We're not going to be packed like sardines in there this time. Kevin's assured us he's got another way.
He's got a strategy.
Yeah, he's got a secret that he's going to take care of us.
So it
pays to know people, guys.
Yeah, and we'll actually talk a lot about that here in another episode. So Thunder Alley opens on Sunday at 9 a.m. and Rolling Thunder will commence, as I mentioned, at 12 p.m. where we will be actually riding through the National Mall. At 1:30, Rolling Thunder speakers program at the Lincoln Memorial, and that's a pretty touching ceremony, if I can remember. And 3 p.m., a musical tribute to veterans. So we don't have anything more specific. And then 8 p.m. Memorial Day concert at the Capitol. So lots of fun things, even if you're in the area. And as Chuck mentioned before, even if you're not a rider, it is such a phenomenal event to attend as a spectator. It is amazing. So if you're in the general area and have the opportunity to make this happen, I would say go for it with all your might.
It's quite a scene, and it's for all the good reasons, you know, and I'm just going to let you keep going down.
Okay, so on Monday, which is actually Memorial Day the 27th, 9 a.m., Thunder Alley opens again, and at 9 a.m. also is the World War II Memorial Wreath Laying Ceremony. At 11 o'clock is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers Wreath Laying Ceremony, so there are events going on the entire weekend. At 2 o'clock on Monday is the National Memorial Day Parade. And at 3 p.m. is the National Moment of Remembrance. So if you can make it, be sure and come out. If not, if you are not able to make it, we are going to do everything in our power to make sure that we're bringing you all the video footage, any audio footage, and we'll do all sorts of amazing things to help allow you to participate, even if you can't make it.
We'd like you to join on our journey. You can find us at Chuck and Deb on Facebook. That's with the letter N, Chuck and Deb Show. And also our YouTube page. We'll try to get things up on YouTube as well. You can find us there the same way. So we really are wanting to document this entire trip. If it is the last one, we want to record it. If you can't make it, maybe you can just do it vicariously through us. And we'd appreciate your support throughout all of it.
Now, there's one really important part to this whole entire Rolling Thunder visually that if you're not in attendance, I want to make sure that you're aware of. So one of the grand entrances as the motorcycles roll into Constitution Boulevard, is that there is a Staff Sergeant Tim Chambers, he's a Marine. This is probably the most heartfelt thing I think that, no, it's
that one
it's
individual
one
is
of
doing.
Them. This one
the
person
one individual
gives
is
back
his contribution.
To this one event. And so he will stand there from the first bike in salute on the concrete barrier where the motorcycles roll by, and he will stay
the
there. And he will stay there in a full salute until the last motorcycle rolls by, which is 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it takes. That's his gift back and honoring those that we're honoring as well to stand there in a full salute. And so to me, that is pretty amazing. And I know you can find stuff for him online too, because that is just, he's got such
What's his
story.
Name again?
His name is Staff Sergeant Tim Chambers. I know he's been there when he's had a broken wrist.
That's right.
I know he's been there when he's had a staph infection. I mean, he has gone through everything.
And he has to train for this.
Yes.
Because it is very strenuous, as you can imagine, having one pose for that amount of time. Now, he might break free when people come up, give him hugs whatever, or something, when they break his concentration. I wouldn't do that just because, you know, then again, maybe I'd feel, you know, maybe he needs a break, but I would just want to honor what he's giving.
Absolutely.
And just enjoy it. So it's going to be great when we ride by him. And so more power to him for having that in his heart to be able to give that back and honor those that have served. Also honor the POWs and those MIAs.
Yeah. So again, if you don't have the ability to attend, that is one of the very touching pieces that we will have the honor of seeing and visualizing while we're there.
If you're looking to either sell or buy a home in the Bradenton, North River area, contact Deb Bell to help make your dreams come true at Reynolds Realty. Call Deb Bell, 941-713-5035. That's 941-713-5035, or online at parishfl.com. For all of your real estate needs, call Deb Bell.
All right, and welcome back. I'm Chuck.
And Deb.
And thank you so much for sticking with us throughout this show. We wanted to shift gears just a little bit, and Deb, talk to you a little bit about this weekend. You had an interesting weekend.
I did. I actually was able to be out teaching on the range, which is one of the things I absolutely love to do. And that is the basic rider's course with the Motorcycle Safety Foundation, or MSF. And I absolutely love teaching people and or helping coach people how to teach, how to ride a motorcycle.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's why we call you Rider Coach Deb. All right. So Rider Coach Deb, you know, I get to hear some of the stories, and I have a vested interest in your classes normally, because I like to hear, you know, when people pass and the things that you go through on the course and how people are doing. And you get to meet some interesting people from all over the world. Because you haven't you?
Absolutely. So yes, from all over the place.
I mean, just because we're here in, you know, for everybody listening, we're here in Sarasota thereabouts. And that's where you train, in the Sarasota area, Sarasota, Florida.
Yep.
And so you get to meet people from all over. So you've had that happen, right?
Yes, I have. They've been foreigners that are coming down learning. I've had actually one interesting. I think my oldest student was 87 years old.
87,
and
wow.
He was getting his motorcycle endorsement in the U.S. so that he sails around the world. And he's got a sailboat, and he puts a small size motorcycle on there. But in order to ride it internationally, he had to have a motorcycle license. And so he was a resident and is a resident of Florida. And that's why he'd been riding all these years, but needed that endorsement now internationally to take his little motor scooter off his sailboat when he's traveling to ride it out there. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that is interesting, because we just watched a show the other night where the guy was traveling around the country. I apologize, I don't remember the name of the show, but he was traveling around the country, and every country he had to go in, he had to get a different type of license or pay something or something. He had to do something different in every country. So I wonder if the sailor guy is going to run up against, you know, maybe it's just maybe you have to have some proof that you are, I don't know, trained in riding a motorcycle. I can't imagine all countries require that. I mean, does India, I wonder?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And that documentary was very, very interesting. But, you know, it may be because this particular person sailing south of us in the Caribbean and all those different islands down south, where I think that documentary was more of a European,
yeah, it was
UK,
more European,
yes.
European, yeah.
So I'm wondering if because of that segment of the world caused or created different things for him in his motorcycling adventure. So yeah, that was, I wish you could remember the name, because that was a pretty neat documentary.
Yeah, it was a documentary, and I really apologize though that I don't have the name. I know it had to do with traveling on a motorcycle and earning money while you went, but I'm sorry, I just don't remember.
Yeah, it was cool because he just traveled on the motorcycle, and whenever he ran out of money, he would stay in that particular location, work until he had enough money, if he could find work, and then begin his travels again. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. But a lot of his work he did online.
Yes.
He was able to get friends or somebody he knew or something he was able to do, I think, online because their background was involved with computers. And I think if I remember correctly, they did a lot of virtual reality things. And so that was his reason why he wanted to write. He just wanted to get off the computer and go out and experience life. And, hey, that's what writing's all about, isn't it? I mean, going out there, meeting different people from different places, seeing different things, different smells, everything, you name it. That's what writing encompasses, is getting out and just being free.
Yes. And, you know, his travels I thought were so interesting because there were certain parts in certain countries he went to and it was wintertime and he's riding on snow in the mountainous terrain. Other times he's riding in the desert. He's out there with the sand blowing the wind, blowing the sand around and the dunes and all sorts of really cool stuff.
I just looked it up real quick and it's Somewhere Else Tomorrow. Is the name of the documentary. So we didn't want to leave you hanging out there, but that's the name of it. So go check him out. It's pretty cool. I found that on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, that's a neat little show to watch. So
it was great.
So anyway, let's get back to what was going on this weekend. So you had your writer's course, and so you had a handful of people in your class. How many did you have?
I did. It was 4 or 5. It varied depending upon the day and what we were doing. So 4 some, 5 some, yep.
All right, now that doesn't make any sense of all. So you started with 4, another one showed up.
Yeah, I had 4 in my classroom area, and then I had a 5th that joined us on the range. So 5 for writing, 4 for the classroom experience.
That
so...
makes a little bit more sense than 4,
okay, you
4
know.
Or 5. I mean, how can you have
4 or 5? And 5, I mean, 5 and
for
4.
For those listening, they got to know these things.
Of course they do.
Okay, so probably some interesting things took place. A lot of times I think you get sort of maybe disappointed because you like to see people pass. Is that right?
I do. I feel like, you know, as a coach, my goal is for them all to succeed. And so it can be heartbreaking when you just know someone has the ability. And when it comes down to them showing what they're made of, they kind of crumble under pressure. And, this class was a little bit challenging because there was one person that was very, very young, and there was one person that was much older, but the middle group, the 3 or 4 in the middle, were all about the same age, and, you know, they seemed to really be in sync with one another. They rode well together. They had all of that really working out, and then the older person seemed to be struggling in some areas, and the younger person seemed to be struggling in some areas. And when it came down to really getting to know what was going on with them and talking to each of them kind of independently a little bit more, both of them had mindset issues. And that was a very interesting perspective as a writer coach for me to see on both ends of the spectrum.
Now, I have an issue with you saying issue.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you said they have a mindset. They had a mindset issue. So they just had a mindset, the issue rubs me wrong.
Okay.
Can we reframe it?
Mindset challenge.
Okay, they had a challenge with their mindset.
Right, correct, yes.
Okay. So they had a challenge with the mindset and get their mindset in the ride. And you know, this is good, I mean, because that's sort of why I brought this up. Because, it's important to have the correct mindset when you ride. And I think, you know, you have to have a willingness, number one, to want to be able to learn.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're going out there, you want to learn how to ride and you're wanting to take the class, you got to be open to taking suggestions and learning. Most of all, I think my encouragement to you, and this you can hear from Coach Deb, is believe in yourself. Don't be cocky. All right. There's a difference. There's a difference between having confidence and believing in yourself and being cocky. I was cocky when I took the class.
I'm glad you admitted that. So
don't be like me.
Yeah. And if they want to know the story, I'm sure we might dig into that a little bit later. But, you know, absolutely correct. It's a mindset thing. And you know, as I got to talking to the person that was a little bit older, they were doing it because someone wanted them to, and they wanted to ride together and friendship and all of that sort of stuff. And so as we really started to have a better conversation about what brought them to the class and what they were struggling with and how we could work together to get them beyond that. They finally just said, you know, my head's not in it. My heart's not in it. I'm not here because of me wanting to be here. And they voluntarily chose not to complete the course. And, you know, that happens from time to time. I, I really want people to succeed, and I know that probably anybody that wants to learn how to ride a motorcycle more than likely can if they have a little bit of stick-to-it-ness and really maybe overcome some of the obstacles, if they're having any, or hurdles that maybe, you know, a little learning deficiency or something like that. But you know what? It makes that reward in the end that much sweeter when we really are willing to push through and work through, in my personal experience, and achieve some great things. You know, that's that self-gratification that we don't get too much of in this world. And so when we can push ourselves to the limits, really overcome some obstacles, and then really create great things for ourselves, I think the experience is just that much better.
Well, of course. But there's going to be those times that, you know, this gentleman, he wasn't there for himself, apparently. You've got to be there for you. I mean, it's like anything else in life. Hey, if you're suffering from some type of addiction, only you can work that out, okay? Right. People can't do it for you. Nobody could go out there and ride that motorcycle for him. Though his friends, and I completely understand, I would want my friends riding with me too. Hey, go get your license, ride. Let's go out and have a good time. But if that person doesn't want to ride,
right,
doesn't really have, you know, and it sounds good, and then what happens, Deb, is actually there's a lot of mental challenges that take place on the course.
Correct.
And I only can speak from personal experience.
Yes.
And it's just by personal experience, we're all humans. Yeah. And so I think, you know, I guess that would probably be one bit of advice that maybe we could talk about when we move forward or even right now. You know, understand that when you go take this class, that you're human.
Right.
That it's okay to feel nervous, apprehensive, scared, anxious. All those things are normal. And I think if you go into it understanding that when you feel those when you're out there, you got to say something to yourself, okay, take a deep breath and say, oh, this is normal because yeah. Chuck said it's normal, okay? And maybe Coach Deb says it's normal, but you have to go in there. I mean, it's just understand it's normal, taking the test. Everybody gets tests. Well,
nervous,
not everybody.
Yeah,
there's those brainiacs out there that just love to take tests. Well, I'm not one of them. And, you know, we have a daughter, our oldest daughter. She can take a test and not even study for it and do well on it,
yep.
You know, and probably have no test anxiety. But when it comes to me, I have test anxiety,
sure.
And I've taken a lot of tests for a lot of different licenses, and unfortunately, I passed those, but I've had to study my ass off.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, we can
you
say
that.
I okay. think we can. I hope so.
Yes.
So, but I've had to work really hard at it. So, just understand that it's normal what you're going through, and it's like Deb said earlier, it's going to be worth the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what the whole class is, if you really break it down and think about it, Deb, and you can comment on this too. You know, it's a growing and learning experience. It's
yes.
a personal growth experience. Hey, I would recommend you try to take the course. Get on the motorcycle, just say you took the course just so you could say you passed it.
Right.
That would be a huge accomplishment whether you rode a bike after that or not.
Absolutely.
Because you could say you went out there and did it.
Yes.
Because you're going to overcome your fears, your apprehensions, all these things that will hold you back. Your fear of testing, whatever it is,
right.
This is a challenge that could actually make a difference in your life. If you go out and you take this test,
mm-hmm.
and you pass the test, it's an accomplishment. It's a feather in your cap.
Yes.
And you've got something now that you can stand on that maybe you can use in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back on something and you say, well, I passed that motorcycle class.
Right. It's a win that propels you to your next win rather than a defeat that you take on to and cling to and create the habit for yourself of constant failure. Because that's what your choice becomes a choice. And, you know, I talk to my students a lot because, the human nature is we get in there and we want to do well. We will not only want to do well for ourselves, we want to do well for others. And we're in this setting where we're surrounded by other people. And there may be experienced riders that are going to do better than others. And we just want to do our best. And so it's human nature to get out there. And when you don't do an exercise perfectly the first time.
Are you talking to me, Deb?
No, not at all. I'm talking to all of us because I think we all really pretty much feel the same way. And when we don't do it right the first time, we get down on ourselves. And I see it all the time. And our students start talking to themselves. Their mouths are moving. Dang it, you didn't do it right. Shoot, you could have done better. I mean, I see them physically talking to themselves. And I try and encourage them. You know, let it go. You're out here to practice. That's really what it's all about, is to practice, ride, and have fun. That's what I think of my classes.
Well, I think that's great. And, you know, it really is an opportunity for you to learn and grow. So if anybody's out there listening, you ever thought about riding a motorcycle, we want to encourage you. That's what the Chuck and Deb Show is really about, is about helping people that have, you know, a desire to ride, but there's this motorcycle mystique and maybe they're afraid to get involved with riding. So our show encompasses a lot of that, and we're so blessed here to actually have Deb, who's a rider coach and has some experience in helping people, so we can help you see these things and these things that you need to know before you go, so right. that you can have a better experience when you're finally out on the course, and now you're out there, guess what you're doing? Yeah, you might be anxious, but maybe, just maybe, you're out there having a little bit of fun.
That's right. So we want nothing more than just to help and succeed. And, you know, again, there's so much more to it than physically just the getting on the motorcycle and riding. It's just a much bigger task. And it's a lot of fun and excitement. And I just can't wait for you to jump on board and enjoy the experience of riding.
And let's throw this in. Look, you got there, and let's say you didn't pass it, okay? You didn't pass the test the first time. Are you a failure?
No, absolutely not.
No, you know, the only time you're a failure is when you quit, right?
Correct, yeah.
So just get it up, suck it up, go back, take the test, do what's required, and keep going until you pass it. Because if that's what you desire, then you need to make it happen. You need to form a commitment, set a goal, go out and make it happen. You can do it. Don't be down on yourself, all right? I could have very easily, I don't know why they didn't fail me, but I could have.
If attitude was one of the scoring issues, you probably would have been out a long time ago.
I'm not sure they would have passed me if attitude had a high score on it. But, you know, I just got a little bit of bent out of shape when I was doing mine. I took something a little personally. So don't take it personally. All right. Go out there to do the best you can. And then if you don't succeed, you know, failure is the next step to success. Sometimes we've got to fail. In other words, and Deb, you can probably talk about this, there's certain skills you need to have before you get back out on the road anyway. So failure could save your life.
Absolutely. So it's all about that practice. And, you know, one thing I love, and I don't know who said, I think that Jim Rohn said this, but winners never quit and quitters never win. And so that philosophy of you just don't give up.
That was a coach, by the way, that said that. But I can't remember the name. I think it was Vince. No, I can't say. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Because we're just too off the cuff here. And
every
I just don't have that memory.
Probably has said that to their team at one point.
It was Vince Lombardi, maybe. I think.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Somebody check that for me.
All right. So again, you know, the only way you don't succeed. And so, you know, my philosophy is if now's not the time, you know, maybe move on and do it again. But don't give up. If it's something that you really want inside of you, don't let it go. And I have had students that have come back and taken the riding portion again, you know, and that's okay. It's just about you needed a little bit more practice than maybe someone else, or you needed a little bit more practice to be safe on the road than you thought possible. So that's okay. Come back, do it again, get safe, have all the skills you need for success when you're out on the road, because the range is one thing. It's a very safe, protected environment. But when you're out on that road, you're out in the wide open and you want to make sure that you're as safe as possible.
And we'll go over that in the future, because once you pass the class, it's just a step.
It's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. There's so much more you need to know while you're out on the road, okay? And we shared a little bit of that earlier. So if you missed the first part of that, you might want to just talk, you know, listen to that a little bit. But Deb, you know, our time is running out. But there was something else that happened this weekend while we were at the West Coast Florida Riders biker rally and anniversary party. And we met the couple we mentioned earlier, Randy, I think it was Janice, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Janice wanted to learn how to ride, and she was apprehensive, right?
She said
she was afraid. Did she use the right word, or did somebody say she was afraid?
She said she was afraid. She was very open about that.
I'm really keen on words.
Yes.
Now, do you think what she was sharing with you, the word afraid is correct or apprehensive?
I think apprehensive is more appropriate, because as we got to talking a little bit more, she had ridden dirt bikes earlier in life. So she had some experience of riding motorcycles in some capacity, but she said her apprehension is that in those motorcycles, it was the opposite shift pattern. And so she was really concerned about getting on a motorcycle and shifting the wrong direction. So on the dirt bike, she said it was one up, first gear was up, and then two, three, and four gears were down, where in a motorcycle, first gear is down and then the rest of them are up. And so again, you know, I just tried to encourage her And those are just those learning patterns, those mental memory muscles that need to just shift and change a little bit in order for success to happen on the road. And so again, the worst case scenario is you shift into the wrong gear, you ease out the clutch, and guess what? You're not where you want to be. So you squeeze back the clutch and guess what? Make that positioning appropriate and move on to the right gear now. So it's that simple. It's not really.
You make it sound simple, but we're on the radio and a lot of people are visual, so yeah. They might not even know what you're talking about, really.
That's true. So again, you have to come experience it. That's all I can say is just come on out, enjoy, have fun, learn to ride, and ride and have fun. And
you know, if you are apprehensive, then reach out to us because Deb possibly can give you some tips. We'll try to give you some tips throughout our podcast, throughout our radio shows, on ways that you can actually pass the writer's exam the first time.
Yes.
Okay, so, just reach out. If you need help, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Deb will be more than happy. I'll even be more than happy to help you out and get in the right frame of mind, even before you attend the class, so you know that when you start, you're passing.
You're ready to roll.
You've got it in your mind. There's nothing standing in your way. You're going to do it. You're going to hit everything. Maybe not right the first time.
Right.
But the second or third time, you're going to have it down. Now, how many times do they have to perform these things?
Several times. The class exercises are over and over and over. And a lot of the time it's because I'm observing and watching and just making sure that we all get to where we need to be. And so, again, relying on that practice, expertise, and we'll get you there the best that we can. So enjoy the ride. Come on out. Be part of the class. I'd love to have you and get to meet you. So,
do you know when your next class is?
I don't, but you put me on the spot. I know I've got one first week of June, so let me see what I can do here real quick. And
that class is going to be at Rossiter's Harley-Davidson.
Yes, it starts on Thursday, June 6th, so that's the first classroom portion, and then the weekend is the 8th and 9th. So give Rossiter's a call, Rossiter Harley-Davidson, and let them know you want to be in Coach Deb's class on June 6th.
So that's going to wrap it up for the Chuck and Deb Show. We hope that you got a lot out of it. And please be sure to like and follow the Chuck and Deb page on Facebook and on YouTube. You can follow us on Podbean as well. And our website is chuckanddebshow.com. If you want it easy, all you have to do is say Google Play the Chuck and Deb Show podcast. Again, Google Play the Chuck and Deb Show podcast. Again, I'm Chuck.
And Deb.
And thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Chuck and Deb Show, heard each Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on 1490 AM WWPR. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us next week.
Are you looking to buy or sell a home in the Bradenton, Sarasota area? Then contact Deb Bell at deblbell.com or 941-713-5035 for your real estate professional at Reynolds Realty Gulf Coast. Again, that number is 941-713-5035.